If your restaurant has slow bathroom drains and grease blockages, call Superior Plumbing and Pipelining. Superior Plumbing and Pipelining's high-pressure sewer jetting and camera inspection of the drains will assure your peace of mind at your restaurant. Request a free estimate at SuperiorPlumbingJax.com.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. I'm Candace Thomas, and we're here with Eddie and Chuck Fair from Fair and Fair. They're here to answer your legal questions. So give us a call. The phone number is 855-765-1045. Again, that phone number is 855-765-1045. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Candace.
Really good, Candace.
It's good to be back. First things first. Where were you guys last week?
Oh, yeah, Candace. I thought you were going to ask me that. Yeah, you know what happened Friday night? The Stones were in town.
Yeah.
And it was just a great show here in Jacksonville. And I've probably seen them 15 times. This is the third time I've seen them in Jack. I saw them in 75.
Wow.
Saw them in 80. Then I saw them again, of course, last weekend. And so it was just a long night. It was a great night.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
we saw them in, Chuck and I saw them in D.C. a couple of weeks before that. We were up there for a family reunion, but this show in Jacksonville was really electric. And I'm telling you, they ran out of vodka, you know. What does that tell you?
Everybody had a good time.
The bar that I went to get a drink was out of it. And, so it was a great night for Jacksonville. It was a beautiful, the weather was perfect. It was nice and cool.
Yeah.
And they put on a heck of a show. That Midnight Rambler one. With Ronnie Woods was really
your favorite, yeah.
The highlight of the night for me. But yeah. It was a great show, and everybody had a good time. But we're back. Yeah, we couldn't make it here last Saturday. We're here to make up what we didn't talk about last Saturday. We're moving on. I don't know if we have a call on that yet, but
looks like we'll have one soon.
Okay, that's right. No problem. I'll move on to. I've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Oh yeah, I bet.
But you know, we talked about the new law about texting and driving and mm-hmm. so forth, and. You know what that means, and you know, they can't seize your phone, and as long as you're stopped, you can text if you're stopped. Now, if you're, you can't just stop in the middle of traffic to text. I mean, that way you're impeding traffic, right. You'll get a ticket for that. But if you're stopped at at a toll or you're at a red light, you can text then. But, the police cannot seize your phone. If you're accused of doing this texting thing, and I don't know how they're going to prove it. I mean,
yeah,
they're looking if your windows are tinted, or a lot of people have tinted windows. How are they going to prove you're not talking on the phone?
Right.
Because you could just say, I was talking, not texting. I guess they could subpoena your phone to look your records like we do in a lot of these auto accidents.
Yeah.
We subpoena cell phone records every day. And I guess you can kind of pinpoint the time when the ticket was or where the officer saw you. I'm sure he's going to have that documented
right.
some point and kind of, you know, see if that is consistent with what's on the phone bill. But anyway, in addition to that, we're looking at not just people texting and driving and causing accidents, but pedestrian deaths are up at their highest point since 1990. So that means people walking around are getting killed.
Right.
And, Florida is one of the five states that accounts for 46% of all pedestrian deaths since 2018, excuse me. So, I don't know, people are on their phones walking too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just people on their cars who are texting and driving. It's people walking around texting on their phones.
Walking in front of cars. Or
walking in front of cars. They're not paying attention.
Yeah.
So it's not just the driving, it's the walking also. So it's a double effect with the cell phones.
So it looks like we have our first caller on the line. Bill from Jacksonville has a question about his wife's hand injury care, and there were some complications with it. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hey, Bill.
Good. How are you?
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hey. How can we help you?
I'm calling for my wife. She was wondering. She had a fall at an establishment, and the establishment insurance paid for everything. What happened, though, was when we went to the emergency room, the hospital, she had fallen, and when she fell, she fell on some glass. So glass was in her hand, and it was split open in the palm of her hand. Well, they x-rayed to make sure there was, you know, no more foreign objects in there. They cleaned everything out real good. And I was in the room with her, and her mother was also there. And we were trying to tell them that there's still glass in there. She could feel it. You could see this giant hump inside the cut. So after doing the, you know, the x-rays and everything, said the radiologist cleared her and said that there was nothing else in there. So we kept trying to tell them there was. They swore there was not, and they sewed it up. A couple of weeks later, got the stitches out. She kept complaining. It hurt really bad. It was very, very tender where that big hump was at the end of the incision. And so she's a teacher, and of course she was trying to, she couldn't grade papers or anything because it was her writing hand. She got way behind. It hurt her bad. It started to fester a little bit. When she took the stitches out, a small piece started oozing, and next thing you know, she got a little piece of glass out of it. And we've kept looking at it, and I'm like, there's still something in there. So we went and saw a hand surgeon. When the hand surgeon received the x-rays from the hospital, he put them up in front of us, and you could clearly see on one of the x-rays there was something in there.
Yeah.
Even I could see it. I'm not a radiologist, but I could see it. And so he saw that the radiologist had cleared it, and he said, I can't believe they cleared that. So anyway, long story short, he had to go back in, open an incision back up like a carpal tunnel incision, and removed a big piece of glass and another small piece of glass. Of course, therefore, once again, she had weeks of healing and couldn't. She got way behind in her school and everything, and a lot of pain. And, you know, she's just kind of wondering. I mean, she's not looking for a bunch of money or anything, but right. She wants them, at least the radiologist and or the hospital, to be held accountable for what happened.
Well, let's go back. Let's go back to when it first happened, because that's what you got to look at under the law in the state of Florida. And I'll explain that in a second. You said they paid for it. She fell. They paid for everything. What do you mean they paid for everything?
Well, we first went and we paid like for the visit for the emergency room, and then when the place we were at,
right. They
got with their insurance company. The insurance company got with us, and they reimbursed for the hospital, and then they ended up paying for what happened at the hospital, and they paid for when she had to go to the hand surgeon.
Okay,
so they reimbursed them.
All right, so they reimbursed you for all that. Was she out any wages or lost? You know, they pay you.
Yes, and they covered some of the lost wages. Mm-hmm. But like I say, there was a lot of she got way behind, and I mean, literally was working like 20 hours a day trying to because she couldn't grade or do any of her work.
Right.
And so even though they paid for the wages, she got really way behind and. You know, stress and anxiety about all of this stuff, and she just really wonders.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did she sign a release of any sort with the place where she fell?
I don't know. It's actually our church.
Okay.
Okay.
You've got to go back to how the accident initially occurred, because if. You know, the church is responsible for causing her to fall, and you may have a claim against the church. I know that's not the greatest idea, but it may be, you know, that's where you get compensated for all the following, you know, medical malpractice that you think occurred, because it would go back, if there was medical malpractice on the part of the initial doctor, then it would go back to against the church if they were the ones who caused her to fall.
Yeah, there's a case in Florida that says the person who causes the first accident is responsible for everything that happens after that. For instance, you're in a car accident, somebody runs a red light and hits you, then you go to the hospital and the hospital commits malpractice. You can sue the driver that caused the accident for the malpractice because he started the whole thing.
Okay.
Same thing here. So malpractice, real technically, under the, like Chuck says, under the law in the state of Florida, you would be able to sue the church for the malpractice committed by the doctor at the hospital.
That's probably the best way to go, because malpractice laws in Florida are very difficult, you know, and they're costly to pursue.
Yeah.
So, you know.
We knew that. I know, you know, with hospitals, there's a lot of, you know, legal jargon and stuff there to protect them. It was just so ill done. I mean, like I say, I could clearly see on the on the images that there was stuff in her hand, and they cleared and said there was not.
But I think Chuck's got the right idea. Chuck's got the right idea of the church being held responsible. And I'll tell you, what you can do under Florida law, you should. I mean, I know you're the church. You don't want to get in a. I know there's some, but you should be able to get a copy of the policy. Under Florida law, they got to give you a copy of it within 30 days of the day you request it. Because I think what the money they paid you from that policy was under the MedPay provision, which means they have to pay that. There's probably $4,000 or $5,000 what your medical bills were, but typically those commercial policies have about $5,000, maybe even $10,000 of MedPay coverage, which means they'll pay automatically, no matter if it was, even if it was your wife's fault. I mean, they would pay it.
Right.
So, so there may be some more money. Go ahead. There may be some more money under that per policy that you're entitled to, is what I'm trying to say, that you don't have to sue to get. They have to pay it out.
Right, yeah.
As long as you have the bills to justify it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the lady told her there was a $15,000. Yeah. She mentioned that. It was a $15,000 pay
that's
that they would
paid.
Pay up to.
That's why you're getting paid. So what I would do...
Because which means you're not going to get paid for lost wages, pain and suffering, scarring that may have had, you know,
but
she may have
out-of-pocket stuff she'll be able to get.
Yeah, right.
So you should make a claim for that. And then you could, you could technically go to the insurance company. Listen, I think there was some malpractice here. I don't like the way my wife was treated at the hospital. You guys caused the initial accident. I'm willing to sell it. You could probably do this on your own. If you feel like your wife's going to heal up without any kind of permanent injury, and you said this is going to be behind her, then you could probably settle this on your own by going to the insurance company and saying, and making a claim.
For the church.
Right.
The church.
All right, well, I appreciate the information.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Yeah, man,
you
thanks
too.
For calling
thanks
in.
Thanks for your call.
Bill, thanks, Bill. But I think, this MedPay policy, almost every homeowner's policy has a MedPay provision. And that medical payments provision comes into effect anytime anybody's hurt, it makes a homeowner's claim. I could come to your house and I could, it could be my fault that I fall.
Yeah. Trip
over my own feet.
Mm-hmm.
Bust my head open. I need 5 stitches. I need a CAT scan. I run up $5,000 in medical bills. Chuck's MedPay, if I go to his house, is going to pay. Even if it is my fault, they'll pay up to a certain limit. And then after that, you've got to make a claim. But those MedPay provisions come in handy.
Yeah.
And as we saw in Bill's situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we are still here taking your call, so give us a call. Phone number is 855-765-1045. That number is 855-765-1045. We'll be right back with the Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. Welcome back to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. We are taking your legal questions, so give us a call. The phone number is 855-765-1045. Right now we've got Clay from Jacksonville's Northside on the line, and he has a question about divorce proceedings and expense questions. How are you doing, Clay?
Hey, Clay.
Hey.
Tell us.
Okay, I'm going to make this as brief as I can. So there's a divorce, and I spend an afternoon with my lawyer. He spent the morning before going through some stuff. So he spent pretty much the day before. Supposed to have been the final disposition. You sit in front of a judge for 3 or 4 hours, hash everything out. So we get to the court the next morning, and we spend an hour or so with my lawyer, sit in the room with the judge. Wife doesn't show. Her lawyer calls and calls. Now, my own boss was subpoenaed sitting in the hallway. Okay, so her lawyer comes back and says, she's at work, she got the date wrong. I'm like, what? So then it was continued for 2.5 months. Only time the judge had time for a block was 2.5 months later. So I had to pay from the day before my lawyer. I took off work. I came the next day. My lawyer came. He doesn't want to look like a jerk in front of the judge and say, hey, there's $3,000 or $4,000 here that my client had to pay. If I get some kind of a basic letter, can I take her lawyer and her to small claims court
What happens? Your lawyer should file a motion for sanctions.
Right.
It's a motion filed with that judge. He files the motion. You don't need to go file a separate lawsuit. the divorce proceeding itself can handle this issue. And you lay out what it costs you. I mean, oh, I forgot. Okay. I mean, okay, she forgot, but she's going to have to pay for forgetting. Okay? What? And that's what you got to that's what you have to do. But your lawyer should be able to handle that for you. And he should be able
and
to.
And they subpoenaed my boss, so they knew it was coming because,
you should get the attorney's fees. You should get the attorney's fees that cost for your attorney to file the motion also.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
Every penny that you're out of pocket, you should be able to get that.
Oh, it was sour because I had to pay the bill. I'm like, if somebody is responsible, it's not me. I was there. I showed up. I was there. I took off work. She didn't come. They subpoenaed my boss, so it wasn't like they weren't communicating. Her lawyer and her had to have been. She just didn't show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a way to fix that, and that's with a motion for sanctions.
I will speak to my lawyer. And he just. Okay, I agree totally. Thank you.
That's what it's called.
Thanks for your call, Clay. Yeah. Right now we have Greg from the West Side. He has a question about a realtor binder, and he says he's unable to get insurance and recover binder. How are you doing, Greg?
Hey, Greg.
All right.
Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Well, I thought I could trust my realtor. We, after looking at a lot of houses, we finally found one that was, like, move-in ready. I've been trying to get, my family down here with me, signed a contract on it. He informs me a week later that, somebody overbid me and I lost the house. Okay. Kind of felt bad about that. He informs me a week after that, that the other people that overbid me wanted the seller to come down a lot in price. And he says, it looks like you got the house back again. So I'd meet him in the parking lot at Wendy's and sign a contract. And he says, this time, give me $1,000 binder on it. And he goes, this will really help hold the house for you. And I did that, gave him a check, and he went on vacation for a week. Now, during the time that he was gone, I've been talking with the bank that was going to give me a mortgage. And he says, hey, you got to find an insurance company. So I checked with mine that I've been with for 30 years. They won't insure the house because it's too old. I called another insurance company. They wouldn't even give me a reason why they wouldn't insure it. I called a co-op here in Florida, and a bunch of places called me. And, I gave them the address, gave them the information about the house, and then they never called me back. So when my realtor comes back and I said, look, I tried getting insurance. I can't find anybody to insure the house. And also the bank that I'm getting my mortgage with said, well, basing it on $1,000 to $1,500 a year, which is the average down here, he said, you're actually looking at $100 more a month than what your realtor said, your mortgage payments would be. And I said, look, I got two good reasons right now. No insurance, and the mortgage payments are going to be higher than what I can afford. And I said, we need to look for another house. And he informs me that I'm not getting my binder back. And that really kind of set me off. I did talk to a lawyer about it. And he said, well, you signed the contract. I didn't read it over. I thought I could trust my realtor. My realtor comes back and says he's going to try and get me $500 back off of that $1,000 that I gave him. And it's been going on 3 weeks now, and I haven't even seen that. And I informed my realtor that, I'm going to start checking around with the news teams. I'm going to start talking to some more lawyers. And he sends me a message saying, well, you don't need to open up that can of worms. That's going to cause all kinds of trouble. I don't know if I should mention his name. Jamie Milton was the realtor. Zillow set me up with him. I called Zillow and filed a report with them. And I've also called the realtor board, and she looked it up, and she's never even heard of a Jamie Milton. Mm-hmm. She said there was a Jamie Milton down in Miami, and she said that he's always
Is he a licensed real estate agent?
I thought he was.
That is a whole different issue.
She wanted me to call her back sometime because she wasn't sure if maybe she was putting his name in wrong.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I got one of his business cards. It says the K Company Realty. It's got his picture on there. It says Atlantic Boulevard. I said, you know, I'm not going to go out of my way over there. I mean, him and I still communicate in text messages back and forth. I've even talked to the title company that said they were going to issue me a check for $500 and, you know, mail it out to my, my home address. And I tried asking them, you know, how come I can't get my whole $1,000 back on a house that I don't own? And I mean, these people that were selling the house, they were ready to sell it to somebody else even after I signed the first contract with them. So they can't come back and say, well, gee, we had to take the house off the market. You cost us this. You cost us that. They were ready to sell it from underneath me after the first week.
Yeah.
And then I guess the other people, you know, wanted them to come down $20,000 in price. So I was getting the house back again. And, you know, I just never thought in a million years that, you know, something like this would happen. And I've been letting people know, and I'm glad to call the radio station just to tell people, don't put money down, don't sign anything until you either get legal representation and you know for sure. Because I haven't had to buy a house in almost 30 years. And, you know, now I'm finding out all this bad stuff after the fact.
Okay. Well, I mean, you have to go back to the four corners of the document, which is the contract, to see what your rights are. Now, what you could have done, I mean, you probably didn't sign the standard real estate contract, which talks about forfeiting under what conditions the deposit is forfeited. Now, what you could have written, I'm not a real estate lawyer, okay, but I've been in this situation before. What you could have written in on that contract is, I'm giving a $1,000 deposit, but it's all contingent on me getting financing and an insurance policy that I can afford. You could have written that in there. And if I don't get that, then I get my whole deposit back. But there's probably something in there that says once you pay it and a certain time goes or whatever, then you've lost that money. I mean, you need to look at the contract and see what it says. Have you read it?
No, I haven't. I would get out of work late, and we would meet in the Wendy's parking lot. We've done it two or three times to sign paperwork. And it was just close to his house. It was close to my job.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was my own fault, you know, not reading it over. But I pointed out many times to the realtor that he never mentioned anything like that. And, you know, and I thought I could trust the guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's supposed to be the agent. Was that your agent or the agent for the seller?
That was my agent.
Yeah.
That Zillow, you know, set me up with
that's
him.
That's right. He owes you a fiduciary, but they probably use the standard real estate contract in Florida. And I don't know. You have to read it and see what it says about your money. But if going forward, did the seller sign the contract also? Did you ever get a signed copy of the contract from the seller? Because if they never signed it, then you should get your entire $1,000 back because there was never a contract.
No, I never got anything signed by them. No.
Oh, yeah. Well, then there may be no contract. And so you'd entitled to every penny of it back. I mean, the contract has to be signed by the buyer and the seller. If you sign it and send it to them and they don't sign it, there is no contract. And you get every penny back.
So how do I go about doing that now?
Well, ask for a
copy of the contract signed by the seller and when it was signed. You don't want to go sign it now so they can try to get your money, but ask them why. You should have gotten a copy of the signed contract. Your realtor should have provided you with that. That way you knew you had a binding agreement. Why would you go out and shop and spend your time trying to get a mortgage and insurance when you don't have a contract signed by you and the seller? Because it means nothing until then.
Well, as far as I know, it was just signed by me. I gave it back to him. And, you know, like I said, he went out of town. And
yeah, but he should have gotten you a copy of it. I mean, if they never signed it, then you
got a copy of that contract now and a copy of the check that I gave him. But the second time that we met, and he had me sign a sheet saying I'll get, you know, $500 back, I never got a copy of that sheet. And and I never got, you know, my $500 back either. Yeah. Now, the title company, they apologized to me saying that they mailed it out to the wrong address. They mailed it to the seller's agent.
Yeah, you'll get that $500. As from a practical perspective, it's probably not worth it. You filed a small claims action for $500. I mean, you could file it online. You have to spend some money. You have to get out of the courthouse and take a day out of your life to go down there and, you know, sue them and meet with the judge. I mean, it's going to take you some time and some, you know, effort. But I don't know if it's worth it for $500. But if you get $500 of a bag, you maybe just call it a day and move on to the next deal.
Yeah, and that's why I've been letting people know, you know, don't put money down, don't sign nothing until you know for sure. No,
all you do is on the contract, and that's why you should have an agent. Your agent should be looking after you. Say, listen, here's my let's say you have a new agent. Sir, here's my concern. I want the house, but my concern is financing. I want it contingent on me getting financing and a mortgage payment that I'm comfortable with. So that way, you can blow up the deal and get all your money back. Mm-hmm. That's a contingency that you should put in there.
Okay.
So you had no contingencies probably on this one, but your realtor needs to understand where you're coming from. And you can put in there, I have to get a mortgage that's not going to cost me more than $1,000 a month. I'm just giving you an example for this deal to go through. That gives you time to go shop it out. If you can't get the mortgage you want, you can blow up the contract and get your retainer back, your deposit back.
Well, I work hard for my money, and, you know, right now I just want to, like, cause him all the pain that I possibly can legally because of what happened. You know, and he turns around and says, well, I apologize. I thought you knew. You know, I'm sorry I didn't mention. I would have never even gave him the check if there was a chance of me, losing money.
I got it, but you know, first of all, you can file a complaint with the realty board. You know, sometimes they go by different names. Maybe it's not Jim, it's, you know, James Earl something, legally, but they go by Jim in their business world. But I would file a complaint with the realty board. Here's what happened. He was not looking after my interests, and I only got $500 back. And they'll, you know, if he's practicing real estate, selling property without a license, and that's a criminal matter. That's like practicing law without a license. People go to jail for that, or practicing medicine without a license.
I am on the phone with them, and I've also contacted the Better Business Bureau about what happened also.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks for sharing your story, Greg. It sounds like it was a really bad experience, but definitely you give a heads up to other people.
And, you know, some of these deposits are not $1,000 or $5,000 and $10,000. So you got to be really careful what the contract says.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your call, Greg. You take care.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
You are listening to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. We're headed into a commercial break, but give us a call. Phone number is 855-765-1045. To Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. I'm here with Eddie and Chuck Fair from Fair and Fair. They're here to answer your legal questions, so give us a call. Phone number is 855-765-1045. Right now, we've got Albert from Jacksonville on the line. There's a question about the time frame for an accident claim settlement. How are you doing today, Albert?
Hey, Albert.
I'm doing. I'm blessed today.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call. I just got a question. In the case of an accident where it's determined that a tire manufacturer was at fault, what is the time frame for a settlement from that? Are there any other recourse if the tire manufacturer doesn't pay or is dragging their feet?
Well,
I mean, is the case with a lawyer?
Yes.
Has he filed the lawsuit?
I don't know. That's why I was just asking. I'm pretty sure they probably have, but if they're doing the job, they should have, correct?
Well, yeah, I mean,
there's no set fast rule on how long it should take. I mean, a lot of time it depends on the court and how busy the court is, how quickly they can get a trial.
You need to talk to your lawyer and ask him what's the status of the lawsuit. How long ago did it happen?
About 6-7 months ago.
Okay, because you got 4 years, and it happened in Florida?
Yes.
Okay, you got 4 years to file the lawsuit. So he's probably still, I mean, he could be either still investigating the case or filing the lawsuit, but you should file it as soon as you can. I think I would just call him and tell him, has the lawsuit been filed? Because if the lawsuit's been filed, then things are moving forward.
As far as the time frame, it's really hard to tell you exactly because there are a lot of variables. You know, you've got schedules, you've got your lawyer's schedule, the opposing lawyer's schedule, you got the judge's schedule. So those all have to be coordinated. There's discovery, there's, you know, motions filed, and you've got to set these hearings up, and it takes time. So, you know, I think Eddie gives you the best advice. Talk with the lawyer. He'll have a better handle on the time frame that the case will take to get resolved.
It depends on the medical situation, because a lot of times, I don't know what your medical situation is, if it was you that was injured, but you can't settle the case until you've reached a point in your medical care where you know what your long-term effect's going to be. You don't want to settle a claim in 6 months when your injuries are getting worse or you don't know what your injuries are. I mean, you may need more surgeries. You may need more treatment. So you can't really settle it until you have a handle on the medical part of your case. So there are many factors, but 6 months, typically a tire defect case takes longer than 6 months. I can tell you that. Okay. So,
looking around a couple of years.
I don't know if it's a couple of years, but I mean, I would say maybe really a year and a half. It can go to 2 years if there are some legal issues. Sometimes there are appeals of the judge's decision. So every case, like Chuck says, is unique, but you don't want to rush it. That's one thing.
Okay, another question. Is it unethical to change lawyers in the middle of a case?
No, the case it's your case. You own the case. You choose the lawyer. If you're not satisfied with the attorney that's handling,
you can change.
Yes, sir, you have that right.
You can fire them, right?
you sure can.
Okay, that's nice to know.
The lawyer works for you. You don't work for the lawyer.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for your call.
Thanks a lot.
Right now, we've got Anthony from St. Augustine on the line. He's got some issues with builder and warranty department on his built house. How are you doing, Anthony?
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you doing? I built a house and moved in December of last year. After going back and forth with the builder for about 7 months, we finally got a representative from Mohawk to come out and look at the flooring that takes up the entirety of our first floor. They said that nothing was wrong with the warranty from their product, but the entire floor was installed not to specifications, and it was all wrong. Now that the builder has realized that and they finally admit it, we've decided to change the product from a laminate vinyl tile to a tile floor. They're now telling us it's going to take 2 to 3 days to replace that floor. We need to remove the furniture from our house and find somewhere else to stay for those 2 or 3 days. That's my wife, my kids, and a dog, and I just don't think that's right. I asked if I could have a copy of their insurance policy to try to file a claim with the flooring company's part of their installation or products completed, and they told me that since this was a warranty issue, I wasn't allowed to have that information. So I was calling to get some advice from you, and what can I do about having to foot the bill for not being able to stay in my home my wife works from home?
I thought you said it was not a warranty issue. It was an installation issue.
Who's taking responsibility?
So the builder's taking responsibility, but they had Mohawk come out to look at it to see if their product was failing. Mohawk said it's not our product that's failing. It was the way that our product was installed and the way that the cement floor was finished. It's not within tolerance. It's basically a wavy floor.
Well, that's a builder's fault. That's a builder issue. The builder needs to pay that.
The builder's issue. And shouldn't they have to be responsible for paying for us?
Right. The builder. The builder should be responsible for that.
Yeah, I think they should pay for the inconvenience, you know, the lost time of your house, for not being in your house, and any other costs that arise from that.
Yeah, but you got to go back to your contract with the builder. And I'm telling you, I've been down this road, Anthony. I've dealt with it. And that contract that you signed to get that house built, almost every provision in there favors the builder. And there's probably an arbitration provision in there that says you can't file a lawsuit. You got to go to arbitration.
Okay.
And they're not responsible. And there's probably a provision in there. You ought to read it. It probably says something like, if we got to do, if we have to perform warranty repairs, we're not going to pay to have you moved out of the house while that's going on.
It's not a warranty repair, though.
It is a warranty.
Not on the product. On their
service. It's on the warranty for the builder.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the it's the builder's warranty.
Right.
So he's responsible for that. But you got to read the contract. If the contract says if the contract does not address that, you ought to say, yeah, okay, you're going to fix my floor, and you're going to pay me to stay in a hotel for 5 days while this is going on, and whatever expenses you have.
Okay.
So you got to look at the contract.
Calculate your costs. Write him a letter saying this is the additional cost that I need from you, you know, to get this done. 3 days in a hotel, you know, mileage.
All the meals, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever the meals.
Well, yeah, they're going to claim that.
So listen, yeah, he's asking
food,
him to
you
move
buy
out.
Food anyway. I guess you could go to one of those extended suites and have a kitchen. But, I mean, I know you're talking a few bucks here and there, but.
Be reasonable about it.
You got to read the contract. I would go first through the contract. Look at it.
I will.
And then you can figure it out.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, but in terms of filing a lawsuit, you're going to be limited to an arbitration. Yeah.
The cost probably...
99% of them have that.
And if you are limited to arbitration, how does that process work?
Okay, what happens is you choose an arbitrator, they choose an arbitrator, then those two choose a third arbitrator, okay? And then, but you got to pay the money. These arbitrations cost thousands of dollars. Now, if you win, you can get some of that money. You get that money back. It's kind of nice. I mean, it's not a court. It's not a courtroom situation. You go into a room and the arbitrators are there. It's kind of everybody, you know, explains their side of what happened and they make a decision. The problem is these builders, because I've been through it, and that's because I'm telling you from personal experience, the builders, they do so many arbitrations that all the arbitrators know the builders. You're a one-time customer.
Yeah.
The builders use arbitrations all the time. And that's what happened to us.
Okay.
If you know what I mean.
All right. Yeah, I feel you. Well, I'll go back and I'll read that contract this afternoon. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks for your call, Anthony. Right, good luck. Right now we've got Mike from Volano Beach. He has a question about window replacement issues. How are you doing, Mike?
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
Listen, a couple of months ago, I called you guys, and I had a national manufacturer of windows come out and replace the windows on the east side of our house that were, among other things, they were damaged in the two back-to-back hurricanes we had a couple of years ago. So, awful experience, delays, you know, products not being right. At the end of the day, I have two windows on the east side of my house that are not the windows that I ordered. And they also did the hurricane fabric, and they damaged 12 windows on the west side of my house. They drilled all the trim that were never supposed to receive hurricane fabric. So I called you guys, and your recommendation was to read my contract, which I did. And there's an arbitration clause in my contract, and I told this window manufacturer that I was going to choose arbitration, knowing that I probably wasn't going to win, but just a matter of principle. So about 2 days before the last date that they could get back to me on the arbitration, one of the representatives from this company called me, and they said, hey, this is silly. Let's just figure it out. Tell me what you want. So I said, I want the windows on the east side of the house. I want the windows that I ordered, and I want all the trim that you damaged by drilling holes. I want all that replaced. They said, fine. In exchange for that, we'd like you to come down and allow us to do our final inspection because our permit's going to expire. So we live in North Carolina primarily, and we have this house in Volano. I took a day off from work, flew down, sat there all day for no inspector to show up. And this was the third or fourth time they have been a complete no-show with scheduled appointments with me. So I called them up, and they said, hey, listen, you know, take what you're going to get, and we're not going to do the things we promised. And I confirmed our prior conversation in an email. So fast forward about a month, I get a call from a collection person, same company, that has no background in
my job, knows nothing that's going on. She asked me to send her all the emails, all the backup, which I did. And then she called me the next day and told me they were going to file on my credit bureau and, you know, ruin my credit, basically, and made a bunch of fail threats that I just kind of hung up. So now I'm wondering, should I have an attorney write them a letter? Should I just
because
remain silent? What should I do at this point?
Well, now you have a lawsuit, not an arbitrate. You have a lawsuit against the window people for affecting your credit. That's a cause of action in the state of Florida. That's not in the arbitration. You could sue them for doing what they did. And you had an email. You had a valid contract, huh?
They haven't done anything to my credit yet. I have one of the popular credit monitoring companies. They haven't done anything yet, but they have threatened it in an email and verbally.
I know, but what they've done, they've sold that bill or that account to some collection agency. Well, who's calling
this
you?
Is a collection agent that works for the company.
Oh, okay.
That works for
the
window manufacturer.
Oh, I
thought someone in their collection department.
All right, never mind.
Yeah, no,
okay.
No.
Well, and you sent them a copy of the contract or the email that confirmed the agreement, right?
Everything. So I documented it. I sent them all the dates of the no-shows. I sent them text messages from the local sales rep admitting they installed the wrong windows.
Mm-hmm.
I sent her the whole file that I have electronically, and all I got back was, we're going to ruin your credit. You'll never be able to buy anything.
Right, right. And they still haven't performed like they said they were going to perform.
They have not. They have not. It's been probably 4 weeks since then.
Yeah, I remember when you called.
No contact.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Why don't you just go through the arbitration process now that they failed?
How do I trigger that? Because it talks in their contract, it talks about what it is, but it doesn't say how to get it started. Mm-hmm. Other than if we have a dispute, we can't settle. This is the mechanism that we're going to settle it
what
with.
What I'll do is, I know somebody who does that. If you want to leave your phone number, I'll call you and give you the name of a person you
That'd
can talk
be great.
To about it.
That would be fantastic.
Okay, because he's been through it, and I've been through it. This is a guy that handled it for me, so.
That'd be fantastic.
All right.
Thanks so much for your call, Mike. We're going to put you on hold, and you can talk to our producer. Sorry to all the people we didn't get to today. Make sure you give us a call next week, 855-765-1045. Always here to answer your questions. Thank you, Eddie and Chuck Farah, for your services, answering all those questions. And thank you to our producer, Scott Young. You've been listening to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. Everybody have a great weekend.
Thanks.
If your restaurant has slow bathroom drains and grease blockages, call Superior Plumbing and Pipelining. Superior Plumbing and Pipelining's high-pressure sewer jetting and camera inspection of the drains will assure your peace of mind at your restaurant. Request a free estimate at SuperiorPlumbingJacks.com.